This episode of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine was made possible by contributions from slaves like you. Spanky very much.
What is it about society that disappoints you so much?
Oh, I don't know. Is it that we collectively thought Steve Jobs was a great man, even when we knew he made billions off the backs of children? Or maybe it's that it feels like all our heroes are counterfeit. The world itself's just one big hoax. Spamming each other with our burning commentary of bullshit, masquerading as insight. Our social media faking as intimacy. Or is it that we voted for this? Not with our rigged elections, but with our things, our property, our money. I'm not saying anything new. We all know why we do this. Not because Hunger Games books makes us happy, but because we want to be sedated. Because it's painful not to pretend. Because we're cowards. Fuck society.
It's the end of the world as we know it. I feel fine.
Good morning, slaves, and welcome to another edition of It's the End of the World, as we know it, and I feel fine. Where after 2 months of obnoxiously shilling for Taco Escuela, I'm happy to announce that Submedia has met our motherfucking fundraising goal.
It's raining tacos from out of the sky. Tacos, no need to ask why. Just open your mouth.
Anyway, I'm your host, Stimulator, and this week we begin in Manila, where on Thursday, November 19th, leaders from the 21 Asia-Pacific Economic Cooperation countries, or APEC, were in town to try and figure out a way to squeeze out even more profits from the region's hyper-exploited sweatshop workers. They were given a warm welcome by a coalition of students, unions, and indigenous peeps who called for an end to parasitic free trade deals and lit up a giant fucking effigy of a vulture, which they constructed as a fitting symbol of Yankee imperialism.
Filipino people are struggling for national independence and democracy in our country, and the powerful countries, rich countries like the United States, get their super profit from the backs of the Filipino workers.
On the closing day of the summit, thousands of protesters attempted to storm the building where the meeting was being held, leading to violent clashes with the Filipino Popo.
I make the type of shit they play on every single corner here in Southern California, where they fire Chris Dorner, born and raised to pull a ski mask and revolver out of duffel, gas compression on the muzzle case of Mark, wanna struggle.
What do we want?
Justice!
What do we want?
Justice!
Meanwhile, in Minneapolis, peeps have responded to the November 15th police murder of 24-year-old Jamar Clark by several days of mounting protests. Immediately following the shooting, protesters began surrounding the pig precinct of the two porkers responsible for his death, blocking access to the building. Community members are calling for the release of footage from the surveillance cameras showing Clark's death, claiming that he was executed at point-blank range while handcuffed.
I cannot just imagine what he went through before he was shot, dead like a dog.
Unsurprisingly, the cops are not too keen on releasing this footage and have instead preferred to attack the protesters with pepper spray and batons. On November 18th, militants responded to these attacks by vandalizing 12 cruisers and lobbing rocks, bricks, bottles, and Molotov cocktails at police lines, drawing condemnation from protest organizers and city officials, who blamed the usage of such militant tactics on outside anarchists.
Whatever the reason for the attack, it is our duty to eliminate this scourge. It is our Prime Minister's opinion that the anarchist movement is a threat to peace, order, and good government.
The pigs also claimed that the protesters attacked the besieged cops with mace. While that would be fucking sweet if it were true, it looks like the pigs might be confused as to the identity of their attacker. Check this shit out.
You're fired!
On Monday, November 23rd, three white supremacists opened fire on protesters assembled outside the precinct, injuring five people. Thankfully, nobody was killed, but this attack shows that racist white vigilantism in the United States is still alive and well. And as black and brown peeps continue to rise up against racist fucking police terror, disgusting attacks like this are likely to intensify.
Stop the police! Stop the police! Stop the police!
Peeps in the Windy City have also taken to the streets to protest last year's police killing of Laquan McDonald. After dashboard footage was released on Tuesday, November 24th, showing Chicago pick Jason Van Dyke shooting the 17-year-old black youth 16 times as he had turned his back and was walking away. The release of this footage coincided with the one-year anniversary of the Ferguson grand jury decision that cleared Darren Wilson of the murder of Mike Brown, sparking nationwide protests and leading to the blockading of highways and bridges in dozens of cities across the US. Politicians and high-ranking pigs are shitting their pants, worried that history might be getting ready to repeat itself.
I spoke to officers privately in one big city precinct who described being surrounded by young people with mobile phones held high, taunting them when they get out of their cars. They said to me, "We feel under siege and we don't feel much like getting out of our cars."
At the time of this writing, protesters in Chi-Town have been joined by peeps in New York City, and organizers have announced plans to swarm Chicago's shopping district to disrupt Black Friday. The depraved annual spectacle where Americans trample one another to death in a crazed frenzy to snag a deal on the latest Xbox. Yep, as millions of white Americans gorge themselves with turkey to celebrate the colonial birth of the United Snakes, black and brown peeps are again rising up to challenge the white supremacist power structure that holds this whole rotten system together. And this latest upsurge is only just the beginning. You can be sure that there's still much more to come.
C'est les nerfs à l'enfer qui prônent un royaume qui ressemble à l'enfer. Prêt à mourir pour défendre la cage qui a tué nos âmes et tout ce qu'elle renferme. Couleur d'usine, nous barreaux en fer. Horizon de barrière, là où le mur nous encercle. Sombre mise en scène, dire qu'ils pensèrent effacer l'ensemble de la sagesse ancienne. Aujourd'hui sort père, civilisation de vis et de banksters. Vente d'indignation venue de la planète entière. Fils de l'aberration que les siècles étranglèrent. Brise tes chaînes, gardien de ton frère. Incarne dignement ce que le ciel t'a offert. En plein chamboulement électrique. L'atmosphère Babylone s'écroule quand on agit par nous-mêmes. Alors brise tes chaînes. Hello, hello, j'en pressais la tête dans l'assiette. Une vie entière à regarder par la fenêtre. À rêver en silence une autre vie d'un autre soi. Alors l'oubli de soi fera l'affaire. Mais dans l'esprit tous les soirs sera de la fête. L'angoisse et les cris étouffés par le paraître. Des nœuds dans la tête, les poignets liés. Héritiers du mal-être, brise tes chaînes.
Peeps in Europe have been on serious fucking edge since the attacks in Paris, with the media reporting that additional ISIS fighters are still at large and may be planning fresh attacks across the region. Amidst this atmosphere of generalized anxiety, French politicians have moved quickly to reassure the world that the COP21 climate negotiations, set to take place in Paris from November 30th to December 11th, will go ahead as planned. The COP21 climate conference has been billed as a truly historic event, where the head honchos of over 120 countries are set to get together and finally hammer out a permanent binding agreement on which shade of green to paint the global capitalist economy with.
Our first step towards a green future is our new green Coca-Cola can. We have invested millions into changing the color of our classic Coke can to green so you can feel better about yourself.
But despite Western governments' tough talk about not giving in to freedom-hating terrorists, on November 16th, France's socialist President Hollande announced that he'd be using his special state of emergency powers to cancel all public demonstrations set to take place during the COP21 conference, including the massive People's Climate March, scheduled for November 29th. In a unified cry, the coalition of corporate NGOs organizing the march conceded to the French government, agreeing that the threat of further terrorist attacks justified canceling their pacifist parade.
And we have run out of time. We cannot afford any more of them. We can't afford any more small incremental changes around the edges, the kind of easy fixes that politicians can make without offending anybody. The time has come to start offending.
Despite all the bullshit rhetoric of this being the last chance to save humanity, blah blah blah, apparently not many people are willing to risk their lives to attend a useless symbolic march. And really, who the fuck can blame them? Brushing aside ethical concerns about the chilling precedent that their decision will have on future protests, 350.org spokespeople have cheerfully reminded peeps that the Paris March was only one of thousands of global actions, making the People's Climate March, or
Circle Jerk 2015.
Yep, as they say in the biz, the show must go on. And since peeps in Paris have been banned from publicly wanking their way to a shiny new bright green economy, it's time for the rest of the world to roll up their sleeves and give them the biggest Dutch rudder the planet has ever seen.
Hey, Stan, what the fuck's a Dutch rudder?
Look it up.
Dutch rudder. A sexual act that straddles the line between a hand job and masturbation.
Anyway, a couple of weeks before all this latest shit went down, I caught up with investigative journalist Dar Jamal to get his take on the COP21 spectacle and the current state of the global climate justice movement. Hey Dar, how the fuck are you?
I'm good. It's really good to be here.
So, you became well known for your independent Iraq war coverage. Why the fuck did you start covering climate change?
It's clearly the single biggest story today and will be for the rest of our lives and for everyone on the planet. I mean, there's no question about it. And we're looking at the fact that we are already well into abrupt climate change, and it's changing the planet and everyone's lives on it forever. So it was a no-brainer as a journalist that as important as the story in Iraq was to move over and start covering this story several years ago. And so that's what I did.
So break it down for us, Dar. How fucked are we?
Most recent evidence I would cite would be a report just came out around the time we're doing this interview that shows that if we burn all currently known fossil fuel reserves on the planet, we will literally melt all the ice on the planet, which would raise global sea levels over 200 feet. So say goodbye to all coastal cities. Now that would obviously take a long time and not be something that we would see in our lifetime, but we're already seeing, even without doing that, just what we've burned already. The most recent James Hansen report shows that by 2050, even that short of a time, we could already see 10 feet of sea level rise. My point is that we are already so far along in abrupt climate change that it's just a known fact that there's no way we're going to stop the so-called politically agreed upon limit of 2 degrees C warming globally. We're gonna blow right past that. In fact, the UN's climate chief already just yesterday in Brussels said, we're already gonna blow right past it. And of course, all of this coupled with the global governments not doing anything other than carrying on with business as usual and giving lip service to climate disruption and what would really need to happen to sort of mitigate it. We're not gonna stop it, but maybe mitigate it. That's just a pipe dream. That's just never gonna happen. And so we're looking at, you know, massive species extinction. And in fact, another recent report showed that just since 1970, half of all life in the oceans has been wiped out. So just since 1970, so we're talking in less than five decades, we've managed to wipe out all life in the oceans. So that's just one example. I could go on for hours about just really stark warning signs that are already upon us.
Peeps have been mobilizing around the COP meetings since they began 21 years ago. How feasible is it that these mobilizations yield any meaningful policy results that will actually curb climate change?
Well, the famous adage of what is insanity, one definition is doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. So yeah, this is COP21. That means we've had 20 other conferences of this ilk. We've had protests at every one of them. And each one we've seen the protests get succeedingly larger. And to what avail? If we've already done something 20 times and it's had zero effect on policy, is doing it the 21st time likely to affect change? I would just leave that as an open-ended question.
In Naomi Klein's book, This Changes Everything, she proposes nationalizing Canada's oil industry as a strategy for controlling carbon emissions. Can you talk about some of the strategies Klein speaks about in her book, and how realistic are they?
It seems like a lot of those strategies, particularly using the one you just mentioned as an example, are more reform-based. And I think that there's something happened between the idea of completely doing away with capitalism across the globe and the impacts that would have on stopping carbon from being emitted into the atmosphere. And then going from that position into something like, let's nationalize a country's oil as a solution. And of course, along the way, overlook the impacts of that on the native populations of that country, let alone having their voice in the mix of what they think the solution might be. So I think that there's some, you know, some issues there that would need to be addressed that aren't exactly being fully addressed in that idea. But I think the reality is that our situation is so dire and we are so far along in climate disruption and abrupt climate disruption on the planet that any idea that we have enough time to do something like do reform within the system or make policy changes or nationalize a country's oil. I think it's kind of an infantilization of the broader population, of giving people an idea that there is still hope and there is still time. And I just simply don't think it's a really clear, fair assessment of how dire the crisis is that we're already in, and how much more dramatic measures really need to be taken at this point.
And finally, what movements that are fighting climate change inspire you?
What the Unist'ot'en are doing up in Canada and other Native peoples are doing to stand up against pipelines being built. We're seeing some of that in the U.S. with some of the Native populations here as well. I think that really is the vanguard. I think what those people are doing, taking matters into their own hands, using the law in their own favor to say, look, this is our land. We technically are in charge of it, and we have the final say, and we're going to act accordingly. And so if that means taking up arms, if that means blockades, if that means, you know, whatever that means, whatever measures are necessary to stop pipelines from being built, from emissions from being emitted in those areas, and other types of industrial projects and machinations by the oil and gas industries in those areas, those are the folks that thus far, some of the only people I've seen that are actually taking matters that personally and taking that much responsibility and putting their lives on the line and their bodies on the line to stop it. I think that's ultimately what has to happen on a very, very broad scale.
Thanks, Dar. And that about does it for this edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It, and I Feel Fine. If you want to hear the entire unedited interview with Dar Jamal, just visit my fucking website, stimulator.tv. It goes with that saying, but I'm gonna fucking say it anyway. You motherfuckers make me and my crew of video ninjas hearts feel like a warm quesadilla. Thank you for believing in us. We won't let y'all down. Just give us a couple of weeks to package and ship hundreds of thank you gifts, and we'll be right back cranking out videos about the global motherfucking resistance. So, with that said, big ups to Simon, Sabina, Mariette, Max, Mathen, Mark, Mutualate Media, Jonathan, Liam, Bart, Christian, Kyle, Jonathan, Dylan, Miguel, Shannon, Preeti, Joseph, Patrick, Francois, Jennifer, Benjamin, Gary, Rosemary, Christopher, Luke, Warren, Hill, Mia, Harry, Jania, Clara, Juliana, B Electric Studios, Boeing, Anarchist Collective, Shannon, Samuel, Ralph, Zachary, Darren, Dan, Michael, Good Company Communications, Peter, Bart, Daria, Jay, Robin, Ranko, Guillaume, Noemi, Tania, Samuel, Hansen, Colleen, Dera, Julian, Samuel, David, Raul, Max, Benjamin, Hannah, Joshua, Stephen, Connor, Redmond, Carly's Blade, Steve, Ricken, Huma, Kevin, Igor, Christopher, Team Mistress, Sable, Bart, Jonathan, Sackman Studio, Claire, James, Aaron, Sarah, Jan, Andrew, Floon, Massiage, Saganites, Pear, Bear, Edward, Patrick, Massimilian, William, Gabriel, Daniel, Dan, Taylor, Rachel, Matthew, Harry, Marcus, Anna, Justin, Sebastian, Nicono, Lucas, Andrew, Lauren, Paul, Bert, Marisol, Stuart, Ali, Kirk, Tristan, Katie, William, Gerard, Aaron, MC Soul, Frank the Tank, Eric, Jack, Carol, Cursing, Jeremy, John, Nino, Mark, Kim, Scott, Renzo, Daniel, Emiliano, Jason, Joshua, Robert, Alexandra, and Mark. Tacos. I would also like to welcome the newest members of the Taconspiracy, Hippa Monkey, Zach, and Friar Lugdington. Muchaka. As always, you can find a playlist of the tunes we rocked, links to some of the footage we stole, sign up to our email list, subscribe to our podcast, or leave us love letters, all at my fucking website, stimulator.tv. And to quote the great Elliot Alderson,
fuck society.
Qui s'interdit de croire en sa propre victoire. Tête baissée pour ne plus voir futur, pour ne plus voir l'usure dans son propre miroir. Dérisoire, rêve de vitrine, victime. Tu rêves pour la gloire attirée par ce qui prime. Pensant qu'à avoir, prétendant tout savoir. Désabusé à force de croire tout ce qu'ils disent sur le banc des accusés. Insoumission, qu'on veut mort ou derrière des barreaux de prison.